I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked to Luke Bronin about a half an hour ago, the two-term mayor of Hartford running for the Democratic nomination for the 1st Congressional District, the sitting congressman for quite some time, John Larson, joining us here on Brian and Company. And we appreciate it as always. Sir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for the time. The reason why we reached out was this standoff over DHS funding that I think you got a deadline of tomorrow night, I believe.
Right. Well, the Senate does. The House has voted, but the Senate does.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, from where you sit, and whether it's the mask issue, the judicial warrant issue, the restricting location issue, I mean, Are you think that the party should do everything it can to not fund for all of those issues? Are there any?
No, I think what the country wants to see is appropriate enforcement along the borders. But as you know, this budget has gone from $9 billion to $75 billion. And with that, Trump has his own army. This force now, ICE, is larger than some armies in country. So this is Trump's personal army. And yes, we do think that there has to be reforms that have to start with appropriate identification, unmasking, most importantly, Brian, coordination with the states, with the state police, with municipal police, with the governors and mayors of those communities. That didn't happen in Connecticut when they came in, and clearly it didn't happen in Minnesota as well. And so, yeah, these reforms are necessary. And whether it's cameras, whether it's unmasking and identifying yourself, and you can talk to any law enforcement official, and they'll say, yes, these are necessary in a functioning democracy. So let us hope that we're able to, that the Senate is currently debating this currently. We'll see whether or not they take up a vote today or tomorrow, or when they're going to do that. And then we'll go from there.
You know, the body camera thing makes total sense. I'm trying to figure out whether this blue state, red state thing, because you get stories about other states that there's no problem coordinating. Is it just are blue states refusing to work with ICE, or is there no communication from the federal government?
I think all you have to do is watch that Trump's piece he did yesterday on Connecticut. Did you see that? Where he came out talked about Connecticut, a blue state, and he's not a fan of Lamont's. But even after Dick Blumenthal, you know, Dick Blumenthal has more integrity in his pinky than the whole Trump administration has, for God's sake.
Well, people will point out the Vietnam thing.
When you raise the question, Brian, about them, you know, are they politicizing this? It's hard to see how they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have a great relationship with Senator Blumenthal. I mean, the Vietnam thing was certainly a mark on him, but he obviously is years and decades of public service to prove otherwise on that. So I don't want to get into
that. My point was the personal attack, because you raised the point, you know, why this blue state thing, was this a personal attack? Well, yeah, he was singling out Connecticut for a personal attack.
But there are some examples of mayors or governors saying, like, we're not going to coordinate with them. We're just not going to. So when you talk about state and local coordination with ICE,
well, you know,
I think it's a two-way street. That's all I was saying.
I think they should coordinate with them, but here's the problem. Coordinate with whom? If what happened when they came to the state of Connecticut, they didn't notify the state police, they didn't notify the local police, whether it was Newington or Southington or Hamden where this happened. You know, and listen, you can't ignore the fact that it happened right in our own backyard. Mothers yanked from children. You know, this is not what people want to see. Listen, everybody expects, and what Trump said during the election, listen, what we're going to do is go after the bad guys. Immigration is that important to this country, and it's important that people know that they have a path forward to citizenship. AKA, yeah, pass Chris Murphy's bill instead of calling everyone on the Senate saying, no, block that bill, because if you pass what Murphy and his fellow Republicans did in a bipartisan way, this won't be an issue. Yeah. So he's been using this from the outset.
Just really, so really quickly, what do you think the result will be? Do you think whether it's warrants or it's, you know, identification or location restrictions, do you think that, there'll be a deal here and any of those will be in it?
I think in order for there to be a deal, they all have to be in it. And I think they're moving. I think Republicans recognize that this is a major issue and a major problem. And, you know, we're winning these things steadily. We won a battle for tariffs just yesterday in the House of Representatives. We won the battle on health care. Initially it was four, then we ended up with 17 Republicans. So people are starting, and again, thanks again to the media for the most part, because they're getting the information out there and the public's able to make up their minds. And our colleagues on the other side are feeling the pressure and doing the right thing for their citizens.
How do you interpret this Tariff Canada vote? Is this more of a vote of support for Canada, or is this a broader commentary on the tariff regime?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, we're strong, you know, they're our number one trading partner, you know, and for the state of Connecticut as well. And, you know, so, yeah, number one, it's a vote of confidence with Canada, but it's also saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, Republicans traditionally have not, especially conservatives, you know, you can talk to Thune, not Johnson, he's just a complete clone of Trump's, but they're saying the same things. They're saying that they have grave concerns about this. And when you're Thune and you come from a soybean capital, no wonder they would. And so they're going to ultimately... This, again, is one of those issues where Trump felt that he was just going to use this to be the deal maker that he prized himself on being. It's not working. And the members of Congress are finding it out on both sides of the aisle.
What are you up to today? What's happening?
Well, you know, we're waiting to see whether or not we get a vote. And then hopefully we're out later today, although we may not be. You know, they haven't given us a signal. And then it's back up to the district.
Right. Congressman, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Brian, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Look forward to coming back on again.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Yep, take care.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.